Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Saturate. We're so glad you joined us today. I hope you've called somebody on the phone, because it's a good thing to have a Bible study partner, at least one, that you can bounce things off of. And some of my best Bible learning days have been with other people. When we first got saved, the first thing we did was start a Bible study. And yeah, and we were green, but look, folks, the Bible says this is for simple people. So thank God it's for me. Amen. Amen. Listen here. Want to get you to open your Bible today to Hebrew chapter 6, verse 4. Now, that is a very controversial, it's a very well-known scripture because you've heard it preached. I guarantee if you've been in church more than a year, you've heard that preached. But it's one that's been misunderstood. It's one that really put a lot of fear in my heart until God finally settled it with me and showed me the true meaning of it. So I want to do a song here, and we're going to come and study that verse, okay? This song is also another song that's going to be on the new project. I can't tell you when it's coming out because, honestly, I don't know. But I'm working on it as fast as I can. I think you'll enjoy this song. It's a beautiful song that I heard on Christian television one day, and it's simply called The Building. And this ought to touch your heart. It's very nostalgic. And if you were raised in church like me, now you may not have been, so don't turn me off. Don't turn it off. But maybe, you know, one day you can look back and remember if you got saved in a church, it'd be a good testimony to say that church is your home. I've got a home church. I hope you have a home church. And if you don't, I hope you get one. Hope you enjoy this song. It's called The Building.
Can't help but wonder if these floorboards creaked the same in 42 when my great-grandpa poured his heart and soul into preaching the good news. These tattered old red hymn books have caught a tear or two. It's hard to sing just as I am without the Spirit moving you. Those altars at the front could testify, I know they'd say. It never once got old hearing a sinner call his name. I know a stained glass never saved a soul, and these pews ain't on the road that's caught up yonder. I know. A building, plain and simple white, but it's the building where Jesus changed my life. I never claimed to be the biggest, nobody ever called it cool. It's where my mama met my daddy at vacation Bible school. It's been a picture-perfect dream of a thousand glowing brights. Heard the weeping as a loved one's laid to rest with sad goodbyes. No stained glass never saved a soul, and these pews ain't on the road that's caught up yonder. Building plain and simple white, but it's the building where Jesus changed my life. With me everywhere, and no matter what I've done, always loved. I know it won't stand here forever, and I sure miss it when it's gone. But I'll be forever grateful to call that church my home. Building where Jesus changed my life. It's the building where Jesus changed my life.
Saturatenow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, Saturatenow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you. All right, now look at here. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you that right there. If you don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, you can take that scripture and just scare the fool out of people. I had another word, but I ain't going to use it. And before I go any further, let me just say something about this. God does not want you to worship him out of fear. Now, people say, well, but the Bible says fear the Lord. There's a different translation for that type of fear. That means worship. That word actually means worship. Doesn't mean fear like shaking in your shoes kind of fear. But when we're talking about fear, you know, the Bible says, I did not give you the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That kind of fear does not come from God. And God doesn't want you to ever approach him or come to him based on that type of fear. Okay, so when you read something like this, if you don't really understand it, this is one of those obscure scriptures that I was talking about, that a lot of times we take these scriptures and we mark them, but we don't mark all the ones around it in context. And there's so much more stuff that would steer you away from believing. I'll be honest, it does. It sounds like this is absolutely almost an unforgivable sin. Sounds like there's no way to renew them to get into repentance. Now, let's just think about this for a second, okay? Let's just say that you came to church and you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and then you went out and you just started living like hell. And you just did everything you could to just run from God. And you were just, oh my goodness, and every preacher in town and everybody else said, you know, oh, I hope he don't die here. He go straight to hell. You know, they're judging you like we really can't do because we don't see the heart. But they will. Trust me, folks will judge you. They'll say, well, he's going to go to hell. Well, why don't we go over and visit him? So they come over and visit you and all that, invite you to come back to church. And what's the first thing they're going to want you to do when you get to church? They're going to want you to come down to that altar and do what? Repent. And yet the scripture just said it's impossible. It's impossible to renew you again to repentance. Now, see what I'm saying? When we really think about it, and we really pull it out and talk about it, it doesn't really make sense in the light of the way we know who God is and what God is and what God does and what salvation really is. If you want to know the truth, like we've said previously, when you interpret the Bible, number one, you need to know who's talking, who's being spoken to, and what time it is. In other words, what dispensation or what time is this being delivered? Well, it's believed, you know, it's hard to prove it, but it's really believed, and I believe, that Paul was speaking here, and he actually was speaking to Hebrew people. It was a rare occasion because he was sent to Gentiles, but this book is addressed to Hebrew people. And there again, on the heels of the one that we talked about where John was dealing with Gnostic. And I didn't define that. I went back and listened to the program and I didn't tell you what Gnostics are. Gnostics are, those were people that believed in knowledge. The knowledge that getting more and more knowledge was the way to be saved or to be enlightened. They were looking for enlightenment through knowledge. We have people do that here today. They think that, you know, by getting, and I'm not saying don't go to college. I'm not saying don't study or other stuff, but don't depend on that to save you because it won't. We need a savior. His name's Jesus Christ. Okay. So we have a group of people here that were coming in to these meetings, these congregations. They were beginning to come to these places where people were being converted to Christianity. And they were coming in and they were doing things like it says here. They were tasting. They were tasting. See, now we don't taste. We drink. Jesus didn't say taste, you know, he didn't say taste my blood. He said drink my blood. He didn't say taste the living water. He said if you'll drink from this well, you'll never thirst again. You know what I'm talking about? So these people weren't committed. They weren't in. They were coming. They were seeing good things. They were mentally ascending to certain ideas about Christ, but they continued to go back to the temple and worship with their sacrifices and their temple worship. And they still depended on circumcision and some other rituals in order to be right with God. Okay, I want to quickly build on what we talked about last session. We were in 1 John 1:9. Now let's turn to 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now, you see, we're talking about two groups of people. John is addressing the Hebrew people just like Paul's addressing them in Hebrews 6:4. And he's talking about two groups of people. There's a they and a them and a those, and there's a us. Little children, John refers to it. All right, let's turn back over to Hebrews chapter 6, and let's look at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. It says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Notice in that scripture we just read, it said they, them, those. Now in verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you that accompany salvation. Wow. Good things accompany salvation, and one of them is your security. You fall away, you know, there is such a thing as backsliding. But what does the Bible say about a backslider? It says God's married to you. Listen, folks, the Bible says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. All I can do is testify to you that I gave my heart to the Lord many, many years before I chose to try my best to run the other way as hard as I could. But he never let me go. Folks, it's not so much that he'll take a backslider back. Folks, I'm going to testify to you, he never lets you go. Now, you're going to live a life of a lot of circumstances and consequences. Sin has consequences. And let me speak to somebody that may have lost a child or a friend or a loved one or to some precarious circumstances. If they've given their heart to the Lord, and please don't judge that, because I believe with all my heart, God said, I wouldn't let anybody perish, but all come to repentance. I believe that God has the power to come into a person's brain right before it fades out into eternity after they've taken their last breath and Jesus show up and say, here I am. And they say, that's Jesus, you know. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. So don't judge that. We just don't know. But I will say this, if you have given your heart to the Lord, you or anybody else, it's an eternal choice. John 3:16, whoever believes on me will never perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news, folks. We're so grateful that you made it to Saturate today. Please join us again tomorrow, same time, same place. And until then, we love you. Bye-bye.